welcome to this Thursday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, we are closing in on the holidays, and for many people, this is a time, even in the down economy, where there's lots of joy and people getting ready to exchange presents and just have a good time with family. But for many folks, this holiday season will be one either without a house or with the fear that potentially in 2009 they may lose their home. And you have some information today on a new foreclosure prevention plan that's just recently been announced. And give us a little information about that.
Well, Dave, lenders do not want houses back, and they're coming up with all kinds of alternatives to get the word out so that borrowers can stay in their homes. This one comes from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and there are actually many other major lenders that are going to participate, and you just need to check with your mortgage lender to see if they're in the program. But it starts effective December the 15th, and these are the people who are eligible. If you live in a property, a single-family residence, and you're 90 or more days past due on your payments, or you're in foreclosure. Now, you're not eligible if you're already in bankruptcy. So if you're actually eligible, you have to meet another requirement, and that is your loan-to-value ratio must be 90% or more. That is, your equity must be 10% or less, as determined by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or your mortgage lender. Now, that's interesting because basically they're only trying to help people with very, very little equity in their home. So if you were very wise to put a lot of equity in your house, you don't qualify for this program. If you think you qualify, here's what you need to do. You have to complete a hardship statement and provide verification of your household monthly gross income and a signed modification agreement, meaning that you're willing to accept new terms from your lender. So here's what you'd have to do. Check your eligibility. Call your mortgage lender now. Give them your loan number, your monthly gross household income, an estimate of your homeowners association or your condo's fee, and then they'll tell you whether you meet the loan-to-value requirement. And then they'll try a combination of options to help reduce your payment to no more than 38% of your gross income. That they're either going to extend the loan term, lower the interest rate, or push back payments on the principal. And if you think you qualify, call HOPE now, 1-888-995-4673, and hopefully that will be some relief for you.
That information will be up on crown.org, and do check it out if that's something of interest to you. And we'll be back right after this short break. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, for the past month, our research teams have put together a list of the top questions that are being asked here at Money Life. And so today, what I'd like to do is just, I'm going to pepper you with questions and have you respond. These kind of cover the gamut, but most of them are dealing with our current economic crisis. So if you're ready, let's get rolling.
I'm ready, Dave. Let's do it.
Okay. The first one, and I think these are actually in order of frequency that we've gotten them. So the first question is, what should I do with my 401k now that the market has crashed?
Well, Dave, we get questions all the time from people who want to know what to do with their money, whether to leave it in, even something like their local bank. I mean, people are literally writing us regularly and saying, should I get it out of my bank? Should I take it out of the CD? Should I take it out of the savings account? But most often, it's people who are in a 401k.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what we've been saying. First of all, it really depends on your age. If you are young and you have it in the market right now, I would leave it there. You know, buy and hold is the very best strategy if you're an investor. Buy and hold. That means stop looking at it. I love what Warren Buffett says. If you're worried about what happens to your 401k or your stock investment every day, you shouldn't be in the market. So, you know, just buy and hold. Leave it there for the long term. Now, it's different if you think you're going to need it in the next 5 years. My personal view is that the next 5 years are going to be tough. It's going to take a long time to recover from the massive fallout we've seen, and nobody can time the market. The people who try to time the market almost always fail. So you just have to weather the storm. But for sure, don't get afraid and pull it out and then incur the penalty and losses. That's just foolish. I mean, yes, you've already taken a loss. You've already ridden it down. If it's still there, now don't take the penalty. Just hang on to it. But if you're invested in high-risk instruments, you probably need to consider moving your money to something lower risk, you know, something like a money market fund, something that doesn't make you squeamish if you're just going to try to protect your investment.
Are there ramifications, tax ramifications, for moving it from one type of investment to another?
No, there are different governing rules according to how you're administrator set up your 401k on how many trades you can do. You can't really actively trade in your 401k, but I think you get at least one or two moves per month, and you need to stay on top of it. Don't just watch it go down. If you're very worried about it, get some advice, ask some other people who know what they're doing, and move it to a safer investment vehicle inside your 401k.
Good.
And also, Dave, this actually may be a time to look at increasing your investment in your 401k because stocks are on sale. You know, there's a saying about the stock market that they usually have a sale and nobody wants to come. But they are on sale.
Right.
Risk is very cheap right now. And if you're able to tolerate the risk, you can buy risk cheaply. So you could do very well in the long term. But let me just add one more thing to this. I don't know what the future is going to hold. Anybody who says that they know what the future is going to hold, they don't know either.
Right.
I think it's going to be rough. So just get in a safe place within your 401k and hang on.
Okay, so basically you're saying that if you need your money within the next 5 years, it may be a wise idea to come out of the investment.
Well, I would say to prepare to come out without taking the penalty, if you can. So if you're an older worker and you're near the end of your term when you actually qualify to remove it, yeah, think about removing it. If you're young, leave it in there. Go with the flow.
Okay. Here's a second question, and we've gotten a lot of these recently in the last month, and that is a question about losing your job. The person's worried about losing their job. What should I do if I think I'm going to lose my job?
Well, we're all looking at the jobless rate increase. We've gone from 6.2% to 6.5%. We're seeing negative job growth month after month after month. Most economists are saying we're going to reach probably 8%, maybe 9%, worst case, double digits into 2009. And nobody knows whether it's going to hit your industry or not. I mean, we're seeing huge numbers. I think just recently Citigroup posted a notice that 50,000 people were going to lose their job. Now, we hear that, but there's still 300,000 employed through Citigroup. So the sky certainly isn't falling. But here's what I would do, some very specific steps. We've talked about this on Money Life actually many times recently. You can go on crown.org and re-listen to those programs. In fact, listen to many, many, many of them because there's some great practical advice, and we took some of that advice and put it on our landing site at crown.org on Hope, Help, and Insight. We've got some short videos on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
But just if you don't have time to do that, then the first step is to make yourself valuable to your current employer. This is not a time to be getting laid off if you don't have to be. So be proactive. Do your best. Put forth an effort to overperform on the job every single day. A second, know what's going on in your industry. If you think there's going to be downsizing and there's nothing you can do about it, then begin the process of updating your resume, networking with your friends and family, looking at other places where you can move, where there may be a better growth for an industry that you could be in, or perhaps consider going back to school and getting trained in another skill. And then finally, remember that you work for God. Mm-hmm. God gave you the job you have,
right,
and He promises to take care of you no matter what happens. You don't have to live in fear. You know, that's the worst part, Dave, is the uncertainty of what could happen. Just take it a day at a time. Don't fear. Enjoy each day. As the Lord said, the next day has enough trouble of its own. Right. Just live in today.
And that's such good advice, Chuck. And by the way, Chuck just mentioned that we have information on the Hope, Help, and Insight feature there on crown.org. And if you go there, you'll find some articles and a couple of videos by a guy we've had on the program, Brian Ray. And they're very helpful. It's everything from what to do if you've lost your job and things to do if you're concerned that your job may be in jeopardy. And again, that's at Hope, Help, and Insight, which is a banner right across the homepage there at crown.org. Chuck, the next question is similar, but this is actually the next step. Is I've been out of work for a number of months. I'm getting discouraged. How do I keep from getting discouraged over my job loss?
You know, Dave, this one's a little bit of a mystery to me because I'm 51 years old, and I've been through a lot of scenarios in my career. I've been in a company that downsized. I've seen layoffs. I've seen the industry completely collapse. I was in the oil and gas industry in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But in my life, I've never been out of work more than 2 weeks. Now, I know I'm unusual in that regard. I know I'm a little bit of an anomaly, Dave, but I had a very specific attitude when I lost my job, and that was I actually had a job the very next day, and that job was to go get reemployed. And so I just got up and I said, within 2 weeks, I'm going to be working somewhere no matter what it is, even if it's not the job I want. I'm going to be working even while I'm looking for a better career move. So I found something to do. I stayed active. Now, there's some other things you can do to keep from getting discouraged, and we'll talk about those when we come back.
Well, you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, just before we went to the break, we were talking about some practical things to do to help from being discouraged if we've lost our job. And so you had said that when you've lost your job in the past, that you decided the very next day you had a new job, and that was to find your next job.
Right, to find employment. Because I didn't know where my next job was going to come from, but I knew I could find somewhere to work. In fact, Dave, I remember one time I went and stood in line at the Texas Employment Commission. There was a long line, and I was actually going to file for unemployment. And I'm not saying it's wrong to do that if that's been a benefit that your employer provides for you. But I stood in line a long time, and I started thinking about the amount of money I could have been making instead of standing in line. And by the time I got up to the front of the line, I decided I wasn't going to do it. And I just tossed my papers aside, walked out of there, and said, I'd rather go get a job than stand in the unemployment line. And it just bothered me. So I got a really menial job. It wasn't a good job, believe you me, and it wasn't where I wanted to be. But it kept me from being discouraged. Mm. I got a job that paid us enough to get by on, but I kept networking. I kept making phone calls. I kept my eyes on the bigger goal, which was to get into the career that I was trying to get into. Mm. So get up, treat your job search like your job, and get after it, and then stay in community. I don't think there's anything better, especially for a man, to be in a community of believers who are helping him stay focused, helping him be accountable, also networking. Mm-hmm. You know, relationships add richness to our life. And the more people we know and the more people that are praying for us, the more opportunities you have to find that next job. And if you're a guy, I think it helps just to tell other people exactly what you're looking for, tell them exactly how soon you want to be employed, exactly what you're willing to do, and see what God can do in community with other people. It's humbling, but it's also very helpful.
Well, Chuck, the next question is one about a budget. And the question is, if I don't make much money, do I really need to have a budget?
You know, when you don't make much money, it's very easy to think that.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't make enough money to need a budget. And I know people who say that. Mm-hmm. They say to themselves, I don't make much money, so why do I need a budget? But actually, Dave, there's nobody that should be exempt from having a budget. Literally no one.
Right.
You know, Dave, we've done a little story, a feature on Money Life about the $11 an hour millionaire. Now, this is a man who actually gave away millions of dollars late in his life, and in his entire career, he never earned, through his paycheck, over $11 an hour. He simply lived beneath his means and invested the difference and watched it accumulate. He was a buy and hold kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had a budget. You, in order to live beneath your means, you need a budget. So no matter how much money you make, have a budget and you can get by. Also, Dave, don't become complacent. I think there's far too many people who are not using their gifts. They're actually underemployed. And they accept this kind of wage classification that I'll only make X amount in my life because this is all I'm able to do. Actually, I've seen people who are very, very good in their field who make 2 and 3 times what other people make, even though it's typically not a high-paying job. I think I may have mentioned I went to get my car fixed one day, and I was blown away by the guy who took care of me in the body shop. I mean, he was so outstanding, I actually asked him, do you mind if I learn a little bit from you? He said, no, go ahead. And he didn't stop working the whole time I was talking to him. I said, did somebody teach you to work the way you work? He goes, oh, yeah. He said, I was raised in a single-parent home, and Mom taught me we didn't have any money, and I had to go out and work and earn what we had. I learned to work as a young boy. I said, do you do well at this job? And he said, I'm probably the only $100,000-a-year body man you'll ever meet. He said, but my employer believes I'm as good as 3 people in the shop. And he said, so I make over $100,000 a year working in this body shop. Mm-hmm. And listen, I'm just watching him. It was not hard to believe.
Yeah.
So don't accept that you're in a field where you can't do very well. Just do a great job and watch what God will do.
Well, Chuck, this next question tags on to that last one, which is, how do I set up a budget? And for many people, that is a daunting initial process. How do I do it?
I want to give you 4 ways. Go to crown.org. We have a free budget tool. Download it and start using it. It doesn't matter if you download it and look at it. It only matters if you download it and start using it. Number 2, if you'd rather do it online, sign up for Crown Envelopes. It's one of the best tools that we offer. It'll cost you a little something every month, but most people write us and tell us it got them on track with their finances better than any other thing that we offer as a ministry. Here's a 3rd way to do it. We've sell a lot of little notebooks, workbooks to help you fill out a budget. We've got this new Money Life Basic Series that's just dedicated to what we call a spending plan, where you decide what you're going to spend and spend it on purpose. That's a great little simple tool. It won't cost you very much money. Or if you don't want to spend any money at all, just get your 3x5 note card, carry it in your front pocket, and write down everything you spend, and be sure you don't go over your monthly allocation. It's not hard, Dave. It just takes a little bit of self-control. And if you'll exercise a little self-control, it will pay huge dividends. I can't encourage you enough. No matter how long you've had good intentions, go ahead and do it, and you'll be blessed by the effort.
Well, Chuck, we've got just about a minute left in this segment, and I'd like you to answer this question in a minute, okay? It is it still a good time to buy a house?
Dave, I think it's a good time to buy a house if you can afford to buy a house. The bigger decision is not what the housing market is doing. It's what's the condition of your personal finances. I'm staggered by the fact that this workout plan being offered by these lenders is to try to get people to work into a 38% of their gross income solution. I don't think they should have ever done that in the first place. I can't imagine that's a workout plan. I think if you can keep the cost of your home under 25% total of your gross income, probably a good time to buy a house. You'll get a great deal, but don't count on it going up in value for the next 10 years. I think we're going to see a decade of flat real estate values. If it's a place you can afford and you enjoy living there, then go out and get a great deal.
You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, in this last segment, I think it's important that we address probably at the core of most of these questions is an issue of trust. Whether you're going to lose your job, you might have lost your job. When you begin to worry about those things, at the crux of that is really, do I trust God in the middle of this? And I think the question that we get asked, and I think it's a legitimate question, is how do I know if I really trust God? And is there some kind of a litmus test that I can give myself to answer that question?
Well, I think there is, Dave, and it's a wonderful question because the first attack that the enemy always makes is to try to convince you that God is not reliable. Right? Mm-hmm. In other words, he starts attacking the very bedrock of your faith. And because the economic indicators are bad, or because sales are down, or because, the election happened and you didn't like the way it turned out, or all these other things start to work on us. But at the core, the enemy is saying, you can't really trust God. God's not going to be there tomorrow. He's been faithful in the past, but he's gone for tomorrow. Now, here's the litmus test. I believe it's interesting that that question should come up today, because I just saw this passage in a totally different light. And it's Matthew 6, when the Lord said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Okay? That's what he said. So the litmus test is, are you worrying about your life? I have a friend who used to call worry a mild case of atheism. Now, you have to think about that. But in fact, there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
You're mildly infected with atheism, because the Lord said, we're not to worry. We're not to be people who actually fret and worry. And then he said, he got real, real personal specific. He said, if you're worried about what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body and what you will wear, then those are the things the pagans run after. In other words, you're in the pagan category. That's why my friend was justified in saying you've actually got a bad, you've got this mild case of atheism. You've moved over to doing exactly what the pagans do. So your next door neighbor, if they're a pagan, they ought to be worried. But you're next door to them and don't have to be worried. And so the litmus test is really worry. And if you believe God and you trust God, you can be free from worrying. And so God gave some specific examples. He said, look at the birds. Do I take care of the birds? They're not worried about what they eat or drink. They are supplied. And then he said, look at the lilies. Are they not adorned more than even Solomon? And so God reasoned with us that these worries were misplaced. And then he said, seek first his kingdom and all these other things will follow. And you do not have to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Just live for today. That's how you trust God, Dave.
Well, Chuck, thanks for those words and thanks for the insight today on the questions from our listeners. And by the way, if you missed a portion of today's program, you can always hear it again by going to crown.org. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.